The readings for the fourth Sunday in Lent are from the book of Jonah, chapters 1 through 4, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Christ our wisdom. Amen. Jesus was a racist. Now, there's a good way to get a contentious conversation going. Now, while most of us want to respond to criticism like that by saying, "But I'm not a racist," some of us know how disingenuous that argument is. And the same was true for Jesus. Most people don't want to believe that Jesus could possibly have ever said such a thing as, "It's not right to throw the children's food to the dogs," while others are relieved to know that Jesus' humanity included all of the prejudices and assumptions about the other that were part of his culture, just as ours does. His experience of being challenged to change his way of thinking about and acting toward the foreign non-Jewish Canaanites, or Syrophoenicians, was the same as the fictional Jonah's encounter with the hated Assyrians. Sometimes it takes a shock to the system to force us to admit our bias. In Jonah's case, it was 3 days in the belly of a fish. For Jesus, it was a woman, and as is often the case in the Bible, she's unnamed. A woman who was warned, was given an explanation, but nevertheless persisted. And Jesus changed. For most of us, though, our conversions to new ways of thinking are not so dramatic, but they're nonetheless necessary. Oftentimes, we're not even aware that we need to have a change of perspective. Changing our thinking and acting in new ways toward those who used to be the other takes resolve, which is why resolution is our word for today's way of resistance for Lent. As part of our commitment to following Jesus, we resolve to identify and change our thinking on old prejudices and assumptions. And this is a courageous but essential part of discipleship, no less so for us than it was for those early followers. Identifying our Canaanites and Assyrians takes some serious soul searching, when it would be so much easier to name the others who are targeted by those others. We're not exempt from naming our biases or our ignorance. As you know, this weekend has been designated as the National Weekend of Prayer for Transgender Justice. It was initially intended to be a time to pray for Gavin Grimm, the transgender student arguing for the right to use the restroom that matches his gender identity. But that changed on March 6th when the Supreme Court decided it would no longer hear the case in response to the executive branch's decision to remove Title IX guidance, which did clarify protection for transgender students. Reconciling Works, our Lutheran LGBTQ advocacy organization, has said, "The Supreme Court will not hear Gavin's case, but we ask Reconciling in Christ communities around the nation to not wait for the court to act. The current environment of intolerance toward transgender people, implicitly condoned by the top levels of government, directly impacts our transgender neighbors, friends, and family members. People of faith will not be silent. We stand with RIC communities across the country praying for transgender justice." Now, it would be easy for us here at First United to rest on our laurels and remind ourselves that we were the calling congregation for Jay Wilson in 2008, when the T in LGBTQ was still pretty well under the radar. And I remember Megan Rohr coming to a church council meeting to give us a Transgender 101 course. And I'm grateful for that and for all that Pastor Jay taught us in his time among us. But if there's one thing I've learned, is that there is always more to learn. For example, according to Trans Student Educational Resources, the original LGBT has now been expanded to LGBTQQIAPP+. That is lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, aromantic, pansexual, and polysexual. Thankfully, often abbreviated to LGBTQ+, or often simply replaced with queer. And certainly many of us, at least from my generation, have had to change our bias around that word. But according to TSER, terms are always changing, and the list will be updated as often as possible to keep up with the rapid proliferation of queer and trans language. So while it's imperative for us to be advocates for transgender justice, it also behooves us to be aware of the issues involved in what could be called transgender lives matter, just as we do with Black Lives Matter and Muslim Lives Matter and refugee lives matter. It's not enough to take the liberal, politically correct position without making the resolution to personal confrontation and transformation, which is the spiritually correct position. And this is the way of resistance, because as we know, the goal of empire is to build walls, to create divisions, alienate one group from another, pit us against one another, to make us subservient to its will. But the goal of discipleship is to break down walls, to cross boundaries, heal divisions, to bring even people of very different views, opinions, and political persuasions together in order to free us from bondage and help us create the beloved community. Now, how do we do that? We don't live here in California in a state with laws that exclude transgender people from restrooms which conform to their gender identity. In fact, as of March 1st, California law mandates that single-occupancy public bathrooms be gender neutral. But there are still ways for us to be aware of how we can help break down walls other than in bathrooms. And some of the suggestions in the Reconciling Works toolkit include asking for preferred pronouns when making event name tags, to not assume a person's pronouns based on name or gender expression. For example, as you may know, Pastor Megan's preferred pronouns are they, them, and theirs. And this is becoming fairly common among gendered nonconforming people. Now, I confess that I find it difficult to adapt, and I frequently misgender them. But that does not mean that it's not the right thing to do and that I need to be resolved to making the effort to change my ways. Also, there's using the term gender identity rather than sex or gender, because not everyone who was assigned a certain sex at birth identifies as that later in life. I just learned this week about a practice that's become popular in recent years, and that is gender reveal parties. And the idea is that a mom-to-be's ultrasound result is given to a baker without anyone else seeing it. And then at the reveal party, friends and relatives will simultaneously bite into cupcakes that have been filled with either pink or blue frosting, which then informs everybody, including the parent or the parents-to-be, of the baby's gender. Now, as you can imagine, there has been pushback about this from those who want us to move away from the gender binary and the stereotyping of gender roles. As one intersex writer imagined their mother's reveal party, they wrote, "The frosting oozes out, and your sister-in-law is the first to see its color. Giddy with excitement, she trips over her tongue and announces, 'It's a purple?' You almost don't hear the collective befuddled gasp made by everyone in the room. Purple? Dang, it's hard to imagine how confused an expectant parent in that situation might feel." And then there's also the suggestion to use language that is inclusive of gender nonconforming individuals. And they suggest try swapping out binary phrases like women and men and brothers and sisters with more inclusive phrases like siblings in Christ or God's beloved. And we have already been doing this in our worship bulletins. But we still have a lot to learn and do. I'm proud to say that our own Sierra Pacific Synod passed a resolution 2 years ago asking our church-wide assembly to instruct the ELCA Church Council to urge our church to use registration and other forms that include options for transgender, non-binary, and or gender non-conforming people, and that when asking for personal information to include asking for the individual's pronouns, and that when asking for one's honorific or title to include a gender-neutral option. And these practices have already been adopted in our synod. Now, it may seem like we strayed a long way from the tribalism and the racism of Jonah and Jesus, But if part of our commitment to following Jesus is to resolve to identify and change our thinking on old prejudices and assumptions, well, it does all hang together. On this day, when we pray for Gavin Grimm and all transgender students, as well as for justice for all transgender people, we pray for all of us that we will continue to be open to learning and growing in our understanding, our compassion, and our resolve to break down walls wherever we can and to resist the power of those who will keep trying to put them up. When we follow the example of Jesus himself, who learned from a persistent Canaanite woman how to change his thinking, then we know that we can do it too. Amen.